This is a Montbog Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're here today because you love God, isn't it? Turn to somebody and tell them, I really, really love God. Amen. Now turn to somebody else and tell them, I really, really, really love God. Now just lift up your hands and say, Lord God, I love you this morning. I love you with my whole spirit, my whole soul, my whole mind, my whole being. I worship you this morning. You are my God, and I love you, Lord. Just tell him how much you love him this morning. Tell him how much you love him this morning. Hallelujah. So many times, and it's right and it's good that we get up here and we encourage you and tell you how much God loves you. But you know, it's also good for us to stop and tell God how much we love him. Amen. Tell him again how much you love him this morning. Tell him how much you love him this morning. You know, when we thank God, we're declaring God's goodness. Amen. When we get up and we say, oh, thank you, Lord God. We're declaring his goodness, and that's why we're giving him thanks. God is good. And then when we praise God, we're declaring his greatness, how great thou art. Almighty, all-powerful. Amen. God of the impossible, you are great, and we praise you for your greatness. Amen. And when we worship God, we're declaring his holiness. We're declaring that he's holy, holy, holy God, that he's pure, and that he's worthy to be worshipped. See, worship is declaring God's holiness. And it's good we give him thanks, and you know, and it's thanks about what's happening in our lives and thank him for what he's doing around the world, and that's great. And then we talk about his greatness, but worship is intimate, it's personal. We're worshiping him because he's holy. He's holy and he's pure. And that's why in heaven they cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy Father, Holy Son Jesus, Holy Spirit. And in our time of worship, and when we worship him in our heavenly language, and we just worship him in our known language, we're worshiping him because he's holy and pure. Amen. And that's what our God is, holy and pure. Hallelujah. And so, church, thank you for having me and my wife a fellowship with you today. And thanks to Grandfather David and all the elders, amen. And he's an elder of elders, the grandfather, amen. And it's just because I can get a chance and say I'm also a grandfather. Amen. And you knew that was coming, eh? But God is good. Amen. God is so good. And this morning, I've desired above all things, and I know it's heart's will in God's heart that you sit in his presence this morning, that he manifests his presence to you, manifests his love to you, and touch your heart and your mind. Work in your heart those things that are well-pleasing in his sight. Amen. You know, you're not here just to listen to a good sermon. I say it's good because it's the Word of God. The Word of God is always good. No matter how many times you've heard it, amen. I still drink milk and I eat bread. It's still great, amen. It's always great to feast on God's Word. But there's more than that. Because God wants to have communion with you. Fellowship with you, speak to your heart and your mind, and and touch you and change you and just minister to you and sometimes just spend time with you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I pray that God's presence will just get stronger and stronger. And so nice to see you, Pam. I don't know why I interrupted with that. Amen. And just stronger. But I know you love the presence of God, don't you? Amen. And we can all sit in the presence of God anytime because God wants to visit with us all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you from God's word about the priorities of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. Amen. The Holy Spirit's always working in us, but there's things that He wants established first. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit wants to lay a solid foundation for you to build your house on? Amen. And say He's got priorities. I think you all know what priority is. Amen. It's a priority that you first take your clothes off before you shower. Now, you don't have to, amen, but it's a very good idea. So open your Bibles with me to the book of John, and we're going to read John 14:26 again, so it can feed our hearts again. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Even while we're spending this time together this morning, and I believe the Holy Spirit will drop something in your heart and remind you, and even something that I say, the Holy Spirit will quicken to your heart as you've heard. You know, today we believe and receive now, and remind you of things and encourage you. You know that God wants to encourage you this morning. Amen. He wants to encourage you this morning. Hallelujah. And so, but the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Someone here this morning, their hearts have been troubled. God's saying to you this morning, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. Amen. You know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit ministering to you is always peace and joy. You know, when the Holy Spirit ministers to you, when He comforts you, when he works in your heart, the fruit of that is peace and joy. Even in the midst of whatever the situation is, the storm can still be at its peak, amen? But when God speaks to you, when the Holy Spirit ministers to you, you get peace and joy. And that's that fruit, amen? And as you all know, the word here for helper is parakletos, which means guide and advocate, counselor, intercessor, standby, strengthener, and above all, comforter. Amen. You know, I was always just so amazed by our God and how easy it is, how easy He has made it for us to follow Him, to love Him, to worship Him, and to follow Him. He's made it so easy. I know a lot of times you and I, we in our walk, we've struggled, amen. And yet, if we just look and see what He's given us, He's made it so easy. You know, while we were yet sinners, while we were lost, while we were just paralyzed in sin and fear, He loved us. Amen. And He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, as you heard from John this morning in communion. He freely gave His Son, Jesus. And Jesus, He went to the cross joyfully. he knew how to face that anger, that agony, and he prayed, Lord, if there's another way, you know, let this cup pass from me. But he said, you know, but your will be done, not my will be done. And he knew it was it, but he still joyfully faced the cross so that by his broken body, by his agony, by his suffering, by giving of his life, by shedding his blood, that you and I would have eternal life. And that he paid for our sins so that we can be reconciled to God. So God has done it all. God is the one who first loved us. Jesus is the one who gave his life for us. Amen. And then when the Holy Spirit recreates us, he imparts and gives us the life and nature of God and fills us with the love of God, the agape love, and the character of God, and then the fruit of God, and we have it all in us. And then God says, I'll tell you what else I'll do for you. I'll send the Holy Spirit. And you know what? He's going to come and live in you and help you to live right on this earth. He's going to help you to follow me and serve me. So, but God has done it all. What do we got to do? I mean, what sweat do we have to, or what labor do we have to, or what's what I'm trying to say? Do we have to build up sweat to do what? What do we have to do? What price do we have to pay? There's no price we got to pay. We just got to follow. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us, comfort us, lead us, guide us, advise us, counsel us. You know, when somebody gives you directions, and I want to talk about giving you the right direction. I remember when somebody gave us directions, we never got so hopelessly lost in all our lives. Amen. But when somebody gives you the right directions, it's wisdom just to follow them and not to work anything out. We live in Porter Street in Templestowe, and in the middle of Porter Street, they've got this, they've closed it off. It's like an island there, so you can't get through. And a lot of people, I tell them, when you come to us, come down Blackburn Road, don't come the other way. And 9 out of 10, they do what? They come the other way because it's shorter. And it is shorter, but they get there and the road's blocked. Then they phone me. They said, there's no number 350. I've given you my address. Please only send me love cards. Amen. Don't send hate mail to me. And I said, but did you come down Blackburn Street? No, we came this way. It's much shorter. It is. But it's going to take you much longer now to get to me. Why didn't they follow the directions? Because, you know, we kind of get wise in our own eyes. Amen. And the things of the world come and distract us. That's why God says, don't love the world and the things of the world. They'll distract you. They'll take you away from me. They will lead you away. The devil promises you good and great things, but he never delivers them. He only delivers sorrow and grief and death. I mean, have you ever thought of that? He promises you this great time with this woman that you're not married to. But what does it lead to? Got a lot of money then. But anyway, never mind about the money and the agony. But he promises good, but always delivers evil. Amen. And always trying to take it. But look how good God is. He's done everything. All we got to do is actually become a little bit childlike and lay our earthly wisdom aside and say, well, I've got the roadmap, I'm going to follow him. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit, his first priority is to help you in your relationship and fellowship with God your Father. The success of all your other relationships is determined and comes out of your relationship with Almighty God. You know, little love for God, little love for others. Say amen, somebody. Joe, I thought you really preached all that. I say, can I say it again? Yes, you can say it again. Little love for God, little love for others. The Holy Spirit, thank you, hallelujah. His coffee's free today, David. And whatever there's to it is free as well. The Holy Spirit will show you God's character, his holiness, His never-ending love for you, His grace, His mercy, His kindness and justice. He'll show you His faithfulness in spite of where you've been, what you've done, amen, and where you've come from. Whether you've come from the top of the barrel or the bottom of the barrel or from no barrel, amen, God freely forgives you for His great mercy and says, come, be my son. Come, be my daughter. But what about the past? God says, that I've forgiven. Come, son. Come, daughter, into the new life. And so the Holy Spirit will teach you all about Jesus, your Savior, what He's done for you by the sacrifice of His life, His body, and His blood. Holy Spirit always reminding you the price that Jesus paid. It was an awesome price. And that's why even when we have communion, the Word of God says, do this in remembrance of me. We've got to continually remember the price that He paid for us. And so freely take it, because when you remember the price, you don't want to leave it, you know, that precious gift that cost Jesus His life alone. The price has been paid. Take it. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Take everlasting life. What a God, amen. And that's the Holy Spirit building this foundation in you and I. Let's look at one. We're going to read from verse 1 to, well, let's see how far we get, amen. Because we can read maybe even to the end of the chapter. What do you say? John, the first epistle of John, and we're going to read from verse 1. That's why we always say, thank God for God, the Holy Spirit, amen. He's our teacher, and He'll lead and guide us in the way of truth. Now, that was that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. I think, just let me just have a sip, just for a minute. Yes, sorry, are we on 1 John? The Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Jesus and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Hallelujah. And so there is so much in this chapter here. But as I've been reading, have you been seeing that the Holy Spirit's been teaching us and declaring to us the character of God? And who God is, and that He's light, and in Him's no darkness. And then He tells us something that is awesome. He says to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit teaching and telling us that you and I, mere man, amen, I don't want to go tell you how useless we are, but mere, can I just say useless man, can fellowship with the only true God, God himself, the creator of all that is seen and unseen, who's got no beginning, no end. His love has got no beginning, no end. His mercy has got no beginning, no end. His grace has got no beginning, no end. His faithfulness has got no beginning, no end. He's a faithful, loving, almighty God. This almighty, all-powerful God that's in control of everything. We can, as mere human beings, fellowship with him. You know, often when they close a service in a prayer, they pray 2 Corinthians 13, I think verse 14, may the love of God and the grace and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. The communion of the Holy Spirit. We can commune with Almighty God. We can fellowship with him. We can commune with him. We can have intimate fellowship with Almighty God. All because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has washed us and cleansed us and made it possible for you and I and mankind to fellowship with God and come into his very presence, which is holy. Come into his very holy, holy presence and commune with him and fellowship with him and talk to him, open our heart to him, and he'll speak to us. And we have this wonderful honor and a privilege. And you know what? The world keeps eating our time and as much, you know, as our hearts desire. You and I, we hunger, we thirst for the things of God. We hunger and thirst for God. And the whole world swallows our time and we keep having to put it off because no matter how much time we try and put aside for God, our time gets stolen. I don't know if that happens to you. And we've got to be so strong in just setting up that time because we can have that sweet fellowship with God. That's not just for preachers, not just for elders, not for deacons. It's for all of us. If you've been born again one day, you can fellowship with God. One hour, one day. You reconcile to God. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus. The Spirit of God lives in you. You can walk with God. You can talk with God. You can commune with God. Look at, and he's the one we should always run to. Amen. Now, does that mean that okay, sorry, I'm going ahead of myself. Let's just go to verse 5 here. This is the message which we've heard from Jesus and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You see, God's never our problem. You know, it's much easier when we go through trials, tribulations, and something that happens to us and we don't make light of that, that we can blame God when we get hurt. And I never make light of anybody getting hurt, going through trials and tribulations, because I say, hang on a minute, you're hurting, you're in pain, your heart is broken, but run to God. He's the one who can comfort you. He's not the one doing it to you. He's the one who'll comfort you. He's the one who's going to help you. He's the one who's going to take you through it. He's the one who's going to help you come get through this trial, tribulation, disaster. Amen. Never, in a sense, you know, have a hard heart towards people who struggle or fall or something happens to them. It's terrible. What do they need? They need comfort. You know, if you've got toothache and abscess and you're in pain and you're about to collapse and die, what do you need? You need the anesthetic. You need a pain relief. And that's why you've got to run to God. He's the one who'll comfort you. You say, but you know, why did God let it happen? You know, ask God. When you go to God, ask God about these things. Let him comfort you. Let him help you. And say, God, show me. And could it have been avoided or why, whatever. But only God can help you. I can't. But why did it happen? I don't know. Well, why are you up there preaching to us? I'm preaching what I know. Listen to me. I'm telling you now, there are stars in the sky. I don't care what anybody says about me. I'm willing to lay down my life on this very fact that there's stars in the sky. I believe it and I'll keep on preaching it. But how many stars are there? I don't know. But what do you know? I know there's stars. How many? I don't know. But I can tell you who does know. If you're interested, you can have fellowship with him and go and ask him. Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. I used to do summit counseling in, you know, in the church in South Africa, and I used to encourage the people, and they'd come in and I'd say, okay, now Jesus is the answer, now what's your problem? I'd say, you're very cheeky and arrogant. No, I'm just trying to encourage you. I've got the answer. Jesus is the answer, now what's your problem? Hallelujah. You see, God wants to be our God. He's our God, and he wants to guard us. I don't know if that's good English, but God wants to guard us. Then let God be God. Then him guard us. We need a God. He is our God. We can't do anything on our own. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. We can't live without him. In him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. And so God is light. In him is no darkness. God is truth. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have time this morning. You know, I could go on for hours and try and explain, you know, why certain things happen. And it could be the devil. It could be what we sown. It could be self. It could be what other people do. I don't know. But what do you know, Joe? I just know that no matter what, when you're heavily burdened and you're broken and you're down and you're out and you have no faith and no hope and all you want to do is just hope that you just die, just cry out to God and run to God and let God make something beautiful of your life. Hallelujah. God's our comforter, our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our helper. He's our refuge. Amen. Now, what I'm going to say, I'm going to say so much in love, you know, I don't want you to just John chapter for a moment feel I'm pointing a finger at you or anything. But you see, when we build our house, the Bible talks about us building a house on the rock, building a house on the truth, and making sure that we have a good foundation. You see, this scripture, God is light, in him is no darkness. Amen. He is perfect. He is holy. He is just. Yes, he's our Father. He will discipline us, help us, guide us. But this truth that God is absolutely perfect is our foundation of our house. And this truth, once it's a foundation of your house and you build your house, your life on this truth, that God is holy and good and perfect. He's never to blame. He's never wrong. It's no good pointing a finger in his direction. When you build your house on this truth, when the storms come, your house will not fall. Because you'll know then where your help comes from. You'll know God is for me. God is on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm going to God. It's God. I don't understand it. I've never understood anything. You say, what are you doing up there? I'm just telling you, don't even try and understand it. Just do what's right. You've got the directions, just do it. Just run to God, let Him fix you up. He's God. But when this truth is not there, and you get that doubt that God's left you, forsaken you, doesn't care about you, is not aware of you, that's why constantly the Bible's telling us, hey, God knows the number of hairs on your head. You know, if a sparrow falls to the ground, He knows about it. God is watching over you. He's put His angels in charge of you. God, the Holy Spirit's living in you, leading you, guiding you. How much more must God tell you to show you that He's on your side, He's for you? Amen. And He'll take you through no matter what. And He'll help you in every area of your life. He'll help you in your marriage. He'll help you in your family. He'll help you in your business. He'll help you in your profession. You know, you spend so much time in your marriage, but He'll help you there. You spend so much time in your business. You're away so long from your home. He'll help you in your business. You can never get fullness of joy in your business, but He'll help you and make it pleasant for you to a degree. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? He'll help you. I can't go into that now because I've got to just share this one point here with you, because it's important that you know this, because it says here, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. The devil is the father of the lies. And we do not practice the truth. You can't have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. Walk in darkness is rebelling against God and continually sinning and never repenting. When we sin and make a mistake, God's given us that precious promise. Remember I read it to you? If we acknowledge our sin, if we confess our sin, it's a promise of God. God promises that if we sin and we confess it, He'll cleanse us and wash us with His blood. And the blood is there. The blood has been shed. He'll wash us in that precious blood and make us righteous again. And we don't have to walk in condemnation of the things of the past and what we did and where we went wrong and regrets and all those horrible things. We can stand clean and pure and holy before God. But so he says, but if you walk in darkness, you can't say you've got fellowship with God. God doesn't fellowship with darkness. Light doesn't fellowship with darkness. You can't walk in darkness. Fellowship with God. When we want a fellowship with God, like we did this morning, we have communion. We check our heart and make sure that there's no bitterness and unforgiveness and sin and hatred and all the junk that's in us, because we can't fellowship with holy God in the light when we are standing in darkness. Does that mean that God deserts us? No, no, no. Again, the Holy Spirit tells us about the character of God, that if one of the sheep, if one of God's sheep gets lost, what does He do? Doesn't curse them and bring down the wrath and say, you want to be lost? Zing, be lost. He runs off, He leaves the 99 and He goes out off to the one that's lost. He's not fellowshipping with the one that's lost and walking in darkness. He's rescuing him or her. God doesn't fellowship with people who are walking in darkness. But God will leave no stone unturned and go and rescue them and say to them, what are you doing? And come out of darkness back into the light. When anybody leaves the light and goes into darkness, God does everything available, but He can't come against your free will. He can only say, I place before you life and death, choose. But He keeps placing that life and death there. He keeps chasing you because He wants you back in fellowship with Him. Because He wants you back in fellowship with Him. God desires to fellowship with you and I. He desires to be there. And for us to be in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. Look at the world. They're trying to get joy from where? They can't get it. I wish riches would bring people joy. It doesn't. If riches could make everybody happy, they'd be so happy they'd give their money to the poor. But they don't give anything. And yes, you can get limited joy in your marriage. I have wonderful joy in my marriage. You get limited joy from your children. But fullness of joy can only come from the presence of God in fellowshiping with the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. God, continue to go. Come, Jack. Come fellowship with me. I want to spend time with you. In all your relationships, only the Holy Spirit can help you change from the inside. Most times before you can change your outer situation, you'll need to change on the inside. When you ask God to change someone else, you'll find that He will change you and prepare you to deal wisely with others. Have you noticed that? Kind of not fair, is it? God, change my wife. Yeah, Joe, I tell you what, I'm going to change your wife. Yay. But just before I do, I want to talk to you about something with two issues. Now, don't tell them, and I'm not going to tell them about your altar wall. Don't tell them anything about this. And so what does God do? God begins to change me, and then He gives me wisdom on how to deal with my wife. Remember Jesus said, don't worry about the outside of the cup. Keep the inside clean. Jews always worry about the outside of the cup. He said, no. Keep the inside of the cup clean. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of the life. Out of the abundance of a man's heart comes forth either good things or evil things. Hallelujah. Isn't God great? And let me close with Luke 9. Verse 11, and then we'll pray. Hallelujah. There's none like our God. You say, Joe, what is your main message today? God wants to fellowship with you. God wants to take you out of this, in the sense, carnal world and bring you into His presence and have sweet fellowship with you. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, this is Jesus, our Lord, our God, our Savior. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil or carnal, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Hallelujah. How much more will your Holy Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Amen. So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit have full run in your heart, in your life. Let Him build the right foundation. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor David.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.com.